Stephen King's new thriller is called The Institute. It's been called a gut-wrenching, dramatic story of good versus evil in a world where the good guys don't always win. Contributor Gary Rosman joins me now to tell us if the novel holds up to that description.
Thanks so much for having me. I appreciate it.
What did you think of this book?
I enjoyed it. I think for sure it does live up to the description. Having said that, I am a Stephen King fan. So I had this arrive at my doorstep, you know, through Amazon a day after it came out. I'll admit I'm sort of hooked on the author. I can't go so far as to say I've never met a Stephen King novel I didn't like. I'm not a Gunslinger fan, for example. Mm-hmm. But this one, yes, I would say, did live up to its expectations. Okay. It is a story, and this isn't any sort of insight, an original insight on my part. This is something any reader can discern for themselves through any of the reviews I've heard and read a number that make the same point. The bad guys, the villains in this book, are not some otherworldly creatures. They're actually just like folks, like you and I. And in a strange sense, or maybe quite reasonably, that makes it almost scarier. He really knows how to weave a yarn that keeps you gripped. Really, what more is there to say about a horror novel? If that's why you're into the genre or the author and are looking to pick up a read for some intense sort of psychological thrills, this one will deliver.
So no really supernatural acts going on.
There are allusions to telekinesis, things like that. There's no rabid dog like in Cujo, right? There's no plague that wipes out half the planet like in The Stand. And the telekinesis and the mental abilities, well, depending on where you stand on the scale of skepticism, that might not be so supernatural too. The bad guys are not even the ones who are in possession of the supernatural, quote-unquote, supernatural abilities. Actually, these are children, and the offenses, without giving away too much of the plot, are perpetrated upon them. That too makes it a little bit more tense than you might imagine. I actually just welcomed a son into my family about the age of many of the protagonists and the ancillary characters, and it hit a little closer to home for me than I think that it might otherwise have. So
right. I think for the general reader, you know Stephen King. You approach a Stephen King book probably prepared to be a little horrified at some point. Why do you think we crave that kind of story?
Horror is, whether it comes in the form of a novel or an amusement park ride or anything in between, is I think it's a safe way for us to experience something that otherwise we might not be keen to. I think we're, as thinking human beings, we are meant to experience a gamut of emotions and a range of psychological states. There are some we shy away from, but I think that curiosity is there. And this is a way to sort of dip a toe without having to take the entire plunge, because you can close the book anytime.
And put it in the freezer.
Exactly. As a matter of fact, I did close the book for a little while. It wasn't because I got scared. because of our family situation, I did have to take a break. And it occurred to me, boy, wouldn't it be neat if books came with those, you know, Netflix recaps when you pick it back up after a period of a couple of weeks. I would love a little refresher on first names. And wait, who did that? And why was this happening?
Right. Stephen King, of course, is a very prolific writer. Do you have any opinions on why he continues to be so prolific and revered?
Yeah, right. Well, I think, like any author, I think popularity comes from the ability to tell a good story. I think he's an artist with the language. In other words, I think Stephen King, especially at this point in his career, whether or not you're a fan of the content, it's pleasing to read the craftsmanship of the sentence structure and things of that sort. And I think that's why anybody likes any author. This surpasses genre. I think he is at the point where he is, I think, honed his craft to such a point, not to denigrate any of his earlier works. Those are great, you know, thrill rides and the potboilers and the Salem's Lot and the The Shining. My God, we're talking about a classic, and this was now 30, 40 years ago. Mm-hmm. But at this point, I think he's reached maybe a mainstream, more of a mainstream appeal.
A lot of his work seems to be jumping right onto TV and video, mm-hmm. Being adapted
yes.
very quickly. It seems like almost before the book is published.
For sure. And in fact, actually, it's interesting you bring that up. I was going to mention for those out in Radioland listening, if you want your Stephen King fix, no need to stop with the Institute, because I think It Part 2 just yep. came out.
Yep.
Another story, incidentally, yep. where we're focusing on adolescents and, mm-hmm. and children and their particular take on the unnatural.
Mm-hmm.
And also Dr. Sleep has right. just come out. So talk about prolific,
and,
right?
And that's supposed to be like a follow-up to The Shining, right?
Correct. Yeah. Yes.
Do you have an ultimate favorite Stephen King novel?
I mentioned The Stand. Earlier, reading that book was a summer that won't soon leave me. One of my earliest childhood memories actually is of The Dark Side, reading The Dark
mm-hmm.
Side.
Mm-hmm.
That's how much I liked it. It like stands out in my mind, not just the story, but like I can remember where I was, what chair I was in, you know, the time of day or night that I was reading.
Mm-hmm.
The Dark Half is about a writer's and author's novelist's alter ego that sort of comes to life.
Right.
But I'd highly recommend this one. There is a little bit of a Minnesota connection. Stephen King is from Maine, but and that's where most of the action takes place. Maine and actually up and down the East Coast. Mm-hmm. But the child, the hero of the story, is actually a youngster from the Twin City area. I want to say Falcon Heights, maybe.
Mm-hmm.
Just a brief bit actually takes place there, but the book is sprinkled throughout with references. To the state, and in fact, it says here he's thinking back to, and now I'm a little trepidatious mentioning it here because this might be a competing station, but he mentions BUZN 102 back home in Minneapolis, and along with Vikings references and all, you know, the geography of the state and the Twin Cities area, it's kind of interesting for those, you know, residents of the Gopher State.
So the Institute is a thumbs up from you.
For sure.
Like
for
that.
Sure.
Right.
Especially if you're a fan of trains, and I'm no longer speaking on behalf of the Historical Society, but look, here's the cover right here. There's the sort of, again, not to give away too much of the plot, but if you're interested in the minute details of train schedules mm-hmm. and how they operate and the inner workings of a depot, you won't be disappointed.
Great. Lots of reasons to read this book.
Pick it up. If you don't feel good.